In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the first feast day of the year, the Nativity of the Mother of God in September. The first feast day of the church year, because the church year starts in September. And the last feast day of the year is in August, which is the Dormition of the Mother of God. So the feast of the church, the great feasts, are all bracketed by the birth of the Mother of God and her death, and of course her son's taking her into heaven with him. I want to talk a little bit about the readings that we read in Vespers as quickly as possible, just kind of go over them a little bit. The first one is about Jacob's ladder. And he saw a ladder and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. It was fixed onto earth and it went all the way into the heavens. And Jacob said that the Lord is in this place, and this is none other than the house of God. This is referring to the Mother of God, because you can think of the incarnation as God climbing down a ladder, coming to earth, becoming man. God coming down to earth, becoming man. How do you go down from something from a high height? You can go down by a ladder. So the Mother of God is that ladder by which God came down to earth. And it is its base is on earth, showing the humanity of the Mother of God, and therefore the humanity of Jesus Christ. But its top is in heaven because of her holy life, showing her holy life, and how she has her head lifted up to heaven. God came from heaven, the Jesus Christ God before he was God-man, and descended via the Theotokos to earth. So he is fully God and fully man, and the ladder talks about that, or actually sort of points to that. The next reading is from Ezekiel. It's about the gate of the sanctuary, and it remained shut. It said, the prophet says, that the prince will enter into it to eat bread, and then it will be shut. And the prince, of course, is Jesus Christ. And the gate being shut was understood very early. If you have Protestant friends who say that this idea of the ever virginity of the Theotokos is silly, is a fable, because of course she had other children and other such ideas, you could say that this prophecy from Ezekiel was fulfilled exactly in her. And the church always understood it to mean the gate being shut, meaning the gate of her womb, she is ever virgin, because she never had children. In fact, she never had sexual relations. Her gate was shut. The third reading is from Proverbs. It is about wisdom. Now, wisdom is referred to in the she, you know, with the pronoun, the female pronoun. And that's only because wisdom in Greek is a female word. We don't have this idea in English. But words can be feminine or can be masculine or sometimes neuter in a language. And the different different prepositions would be based upon... Is that the right word I'm looking for? Preposition? No, what's the pronoun? I never paid attention in English. The different pronouns would match that as far as the sex of the... or the gender of the word. And wisdom is just a female word. It doesn't have any theological significance. But wisdom is Jesus Christ. And it says, wisdom hath builded her house. And what is her house? The Mother of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ became man through the womb of the Mother of God. That was his house. Also, the seven pillars have some very interesting interpretations. And I'll just read, because really they say it better than I could. And he hath raised her seven pillars, that is the fragrant grace of the all-holy Spirit, as Isaiah says, and the seven spirits of God shall rest upon him. But others say that the seven pillars are the seven divine orders which sustain the creation in his holy and inspired teaching, to wit, the prophets, the apostles, the martyrs, the hierarchs, the hermits, the saints, and the righteous. And then the reading also says, she hath mingled her wine. That's a reference to the incarnation. Mingling wine, which would be mixing water with wine. And in the case of the incarnation, we're talking about the Godhead, not mixing with humanity, because the Godhead didn't mix with humanity, but the Godhead took on humanity so that in one person would be God and man. And also, it says that she hath furnished her table, and that denotes the Eucharist. Come drink of my mingled wine, that is, to partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot more to these readings, but that's all I'll say for now. They have great significance. They're read on several holidays of the Mother of God. What we must understand about the Mother of God is that she said yes to God. So should we. It's the most important thing to understand about her. Her submission, her holiness to God. She's not superhuman. She was just human. She's not a demigod. She's not a part of the Trinity. She needed a Savior. But she, more than any other human being, submitted to God. Do you know we have absolutely zero that was written by her? We know of nothing that she wrote. We have know of no teaching that she promulgated. But we know that she told the apostles many, many things, and that the mind of the church was expressed through her holy lips. So much of what we understand about piety comes from the Mother of God. But because of her humility, not a word was written down. There's absolutely nothing that has her authorship ascribed to it. And that's as it should be. She was just holy and submitted to God, and so should we.